at Cenchreae, he, Paul, had cut his hair and he was under a vow. And verse 19 says, and they came to Ephesus and he, Paul, left them there. Who? Priscilla and Aquila. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. They left Corinth. They went to Ephesus. He and Priscilla and Aquila went to Ephesus. And Paul, well received, said, No, I'm going. Where is he going? Syria. Who is he left in Ephesus? Priscilla and Aquila. And so when they said stay, and he saw that there was a good reception, and there would be profitable ministry, did he say, I'll stay. No, he didn't. Because Paul knew where he was going. And the mere reception by the people in the room, and the insistence that people in the room said, stay, we love you, it was not Paul's standard for determining whether he stayed or whether he goed as much as he wanted to. What did he say? I will return if God wills. And he set sail for Ephesus. Now, that brings to my mind phrases I've heard, phrases that you've heard. Have you heard, if God spares us, at the end of a sentence of something that you'll do? Have you heard, God willing, I'll see you tomorrow, God willing? I said to Irene, I said, what do we play in the church when I see you there? She said, I don't know if you'll see me there. She said, we've all got to go. I said, all right, Irene, I'll see you on Thursday, God willing. And she looked back at me, and she didn't smile. She said, you never know. And we were talking about me. She wasn't saying, I might check out before Thursday. She's like, I hope you make it back. This is the thing. Tomorrow is promised no man. Do you ever see on the end of a letter, DV? Stands for Dio Volete or something. I don't know Latin very well. But I know that DV means God willing. I've learned that. I looked it up once and I've forgotten it since. So Paul said again, and we could breeze right through it, I'll return to you if God wills. But that's what's guiding him around. That's what Paul said. Now, I'll read to you what James said, 13, 14, and 15 verses of chapter 4. I'll be there quick, and then I'll be back to this story. James says, come now, you who say, tomorrow or today we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mere mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Do you check with God to see what your plans are for the day? Have you made a plan for the week and have you checked with God? And you know what? You better show up for work. You got to pay your rent. But what is God doing? What would God do differently? What do you put up with and grind through? And God has a plan. And do you know it? Do you know God's plan? And some of us feel like more of God's plan is behind us than in front of us. And some of us feel stuck in this, if this is your plan, God, what? And others of us are like, the future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. It's too bright. I can't look at it. I need some sunglasses. And wow. And I remember in my youth being young and bulletproof and immortal. And all my bones were lined up straight. And I was to be reckoned with in terms of the physical, you know, stance and all that. And now, I've said it before, I kind of think, what else will I get while I'm down there? You know, I mean, here it comes. I'm going to pick something up now. You know, so we know about the virility of youth, but this isn't about that. This is about Paul saying, I can't stay because I'm going, and I'll be back if God. And James echoing it, so it's not just Paul's pernickety personality. So often we let ourselves off the hook with Paul because we think that's what that author sounds like. But this is the Bible inspired by God, who wants you to know what God thinks. Sometimes it sounds like Paul, but if it sounds like Paul, is it not true? How much of this Bible will you take on and say, yes, it's true, I live by that? Now, people's interpretations of the book, that they want you to believe what they believe, then we get into good, you know, a tussle. Theologians over years, even just the, was it Aquila or was it Paul who cut his hair? That's not important. But other things really important. Destiny and free will is an endless. Students love it. If you lead a home Bible study, you don't love it. You think, boy, I hope we can have a Bible study tonight. And then predestination, free will breaks out, and you go, well, that's the night, folks. Here we go. We're off to the races. Or you cut it off at the pass. You go, very good, very good, very good. Yeah, go argue over coffee. So anyway, what I wanted to talk about, you know, all kinds of stuff. In a Baptist church, do you know that there is no from the front telling you, here's what we believe. You must believe that, or you're not a part. You don't get that in a Baptist church. There's even an argument of whether there is Baptist theology at all. And people make a strong argument there actually is. There's some things unique purely to Baptists, the church meeting being one of them. The ecclesiology of a congregational form of government that is discerning the mind of Christ in community as we speak and discuss. That's unique. You can say it's scriptural, but I'll tell you what, you can also say an elder-led church that tells people, here's how it is, we are wise and old and venerable, and you trusted us when you appointed us elders, and now we'll tell you. That is also biblical. And so you could say, do you want to go to church here or there? They do it that way there, they do it this way here, and you can decide. If God spares us, God willing. The apostles in book of Acts chapter 4, they say to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place, O Lord, when they're praying. And Paul in Ephesians in chapter 1 says, in him, God, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 11, you learned to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we choose to be alongside of God who has predestined lives and ordained courses through the world. What do I do with that? What do I do with that? Paul, Saul, Saul, it is not good for you to kick against the goads. And what are the goads? They're the spiky things that keep, that steer a beast of burden. Paul, go where I'm leading you. Stop resisting. I will show him how much I have in store that he may suffer. God tells. Who is that praying man? Ananias, who says, but Lord, what about Paul? He goes, you just go. I've got a plan for Paul. God's plan, his will be done in your life. Get on board. You could be on the bus or under it. It's going. We know this, but we wrestle with it when it comes up, and that's why you have a sermon, to wrestle with it, because it's come up. Do you want what God wants for you, or do you want what you want?